David Hollander is an investment advisor with Liberty Wealth Management, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Securities are offered through Liberty Group, LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and insurance is offered through Lifetime Planning Marketing Incorporated. All investing involves risks, including the risk of loss of your investment. Please consult with a financial professional before investing.
Morning. The following program is being paid for by Liberty Group, LLC, and the views and opinions of the host do not necessarily reflect those of this station or its ownership. This is Protect Your Assets with your host, as featured in Forbes magazine, David Hollander, chairman and founder of the Liberty Group, LLC.
Then tell me that my lonesome nights are over.
Now, broadcasting live from the Protect Your Assets studios in downtown Oakland, here's David Hollander.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander. I'm your host, and it's so great to be with you this morning. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman. That's right, you're hearing the music right. And I get this question all the time. Why do people call you the Sandman? Well, that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions every single week. And that's because I'm an attorney and a financial advisor. But actually, the name came from a client. A client gave me a trophy at a Christmas party we had many years ago and said that I was their Sandman because I helped them sleep well at night by taking care of their finances. So that's where it comes from. We're broadcasting live. This is a live show right now. I do it live because of days like yesterday. Friday was a great day for the market. We're broadcasting live right now out of our studio in Oakland, downtown Oakland, California. And I'm actually sitting in Laguna Hills with modern technology. I can do this pretty much anywhere in the world, which is kind of cool. So if you have a question, maybe something just happened. Maybe you want to know if it's time to get out of the market right now, or maybe should you be buying oil stocks? These are all great questions. If you have a question, call this number right now. My team is standing by to take your call. 866-PROTECT. That's my phone number. It's 866-PROTECT because the show, after all, is called Protect Your Assets. If you have a question, call them right now. 866-PROTECT. The financial and investing world can be so complex, so confusing. So much so that people become paralyzed and do nothing. Particularly now, we've seen the market move quite a bit since January 1st. It seems like Christmas Eve and the horror we experienced that day is so far behind us, but is it? It's not that people want to make bad decisions with their money or their retirement. It's just that they don't know what to do or if they can trust the advice that they're getting. Ultimately, they are just trying to know, am I going to be okay? So whether you're trying to figure out how to manage the risk in your investments or keeping more of your money from the tax man or making sure you don't end up being a burden to your family later in life, if that sounds like you, you're going to want to stay glued to my show today as I help you answer the question, am I going to be okay? It's going to be a fact-filled and great quick hour, so stick around. Now, let's get started. Like I said, it's been another incredible week on Wall Street. The Dow had the best, get this, the best eight-week gain since 2009. That's incredible. Think about that. We had the recession. We had the market bounce back. And now we're seeing another tremendous recovery. We only had two negative days last week, Monday and Thursday. But overall, we had Tuesday and Friday. The market was up Tuesday 372 points and Friday up 443. So solid day. S&P, NASDAQ, all up for the week. Here's the numbers for the week. The Dow was up 3.09%, NASDAQ up 2.3%, and the S&P was up 2.5%. So that leads us to the big question that's out there right now. And the big question you're probably thinking about right now, which is, should I sell? Should I put some in cash? What should I do with my portfolio? Should I stay fully invested? These are excellent questions. These are types of questions that we get throughout the week. And so I want to turn you to look at the economy, because the economy is what really drives the overall market when you start to think about it. And right now, it seems like headlines like the government shutdown being avoided, drove the market this past week. And if there's a China deal, you bet the market's going to move a little higher. So at least that's what I think. It's my opinion, by the way. Let's look at the economy, because we like to look at a lot of detailed numbers to see what's really going on. And this is fascinating. In January, get this, all the indicators that we look at PMI, we look at new orders, we look at employment, inventories, production, all the kind of things you would think just kind of make sense, like common sense. That's kind of the way I look at things. Get this, they're all growing faster than they did the previous month. So what this means for the overall economy right now is that it's growing faster than it did last month. And that's, I'm sorry, December. Because in December, we heard about the government slowing down, about the economy slowing down, about the world slowing down. Everything was slowing down. And that's why you saw the numbers for retail that just came out, and people were all freaked out about that, being somewhat negative. Because people don't spend money when they're concerned about the market. It's just the way it goes. So that's what happened. And I know on it was on Thursday, we had a down market that day, and that was mainly due to retail numbers that came out. And so people were concerned about that. Now, what next should you be looking at? Well, the other things that we look at are earnings forecasts. And right now, earnings season is starting to come to a close. So next week, I'll tell you in a minute who's coming down the pike next week, but not many, starting to slow down. And so what we saw and what I think you're going to see is earnings overall are going to be slowing down. So this first quarter, most of the companies have reported pretty good earnings, but overall they're slower than they were last year, like way slower, way different. And so we're not going to really see much earnings growth through this quarter or the next quarter is what I think. And so where you're going to see it start to pick up will be the third and the fourth quarter. So that begs the question, is this year going to be a lot like last year where we saw a good, strong January and then we saw it all fall apart towards the end of the year? It's a very good question. No one seems, including me, I don't know the answer to it. But what I have kept saying is I think that overall we're going to see 2850 on the S&P, which is not that far away. And on the Dow, we got about a 5% delta between now and their overall high point we saw in beginning October next year. So maybe you should pull some cash off the put some cash in the pocket right now. Maybe there's some things that have appreciated pretty nicely that you're not paying attention to that you might want to take off the table. I've been doing that lately. You might want to do that. Cash is, there's nothing wrong with cash, and you can get some good interest on cash if you know what to do. But you might want to start lightening up just a little bit. I'm not saying, take it all off. No, not that. I think for 2019, we're looking at some pretty strong numbers. Like GDP is going to be, this is the gross domestic product, our growth. It's going to be over 2%. That's pretty good. Inflation is looking really good. Inflation is very low. And as long as inflation is low, say 2% or less, which is what it looks like this past week with a lot of things we looked at, that means the Fed's not going to raise. And I've been saying this for a while. I don't think the Fed's going to raise in 2019, at least in the next, say, 3 to 6 months. I don't think they're going to raise. And if they don't, that's the one thing you may remember that turned the market in December. We had them come out and talk about, oh, we're not going to raise rates really as aggressively as we said. Market loved it and started to take off. That's what turned it. So remember, the Fed is very powerful and has a lot of impact on the market. As long as inflation stays low, I don't think we're going to see much more interest rates, at least in the immediate term. Unemployment, I think that's going to stay around 3.7% for 2019, which is good. That's a good low number. Oil should stay in control around $59 a barrel is what I think in 19. I'm going to give you a pick to buy here in a minute. Home prices, I think you're going to see your home prices increase by about 4% in 2019. So again, not like last year, but not bad. And what about the 10-year treasury? Where is that going to be? Right now, we closed yesterday at 2.65%. Now, I really look at the 10-year treasury. That is a great indicator of what interest rates are going to do. So I think you're going to see probably 3%, maybe a little over 3% for 2019. So that's not that much farther to go. And so if you're waiting to buy fixed income, maybe be a little bit more patient. But overall, rates will go a little bit higher, but not much. Now, what are some of the good things in the economy? Well, we saw a record number of job openings this past week. Get this number, 7.3 million. That's a lot. 7.3 million job openings right now that are available out there. Some of the things to be concerned about, to think about, our national debt. Our national debt this week, according to the Treasury, is over $22 trillion. That's right, $22 trillion. And this will become a problem if interest rates rise. As long as interest rates stay under control, which is what I'm saying they're going to do, we should be okay. But if rates start to rise quicker and the Fed starts to raise, that's not going to be good for that debt. And that's going to get us into trouble. So remember, we have $22 trillion of debt. That's a huge number. At some point in the future, it's going to have to be dealt with. It's just that simple. Some of the things I'm looking at, the consumer. Since 2009, the consumer is apparently slowing down slightly. And this could be a problem. So if our consumers stop spending, again, this goes back to the retail number we were talking about earlier. If this consumer starts slowing down, that could be a problem for our economy overall as well. So we got to keep our eye on that. And if that gets worse, that could signal the health of the overall economic expansion could be tapering or slowing down. If any of that stuff starts to happen, then you want to start looking to go more cash, okay, or go more fixed income short term. What sort of things should you be buying right now? Well, international, I still think looks pretty good. As long as the dollar stays strong like it is. The dollar has strong, meaning in my mind, it's basically even. It's not too powerful for the rest of the world. As long as the dollar stays in check and doesn't move too aggressively, which is some of the things we've seen where it gets overpriced, say, against the euro or the yen. You see, it gets very strong against those currencies. When it does, that's not good for international investing because then they can buy less of our stuff. That's basically what it means. So in my opinion, with the dollar remaining relatively intact right now, relatively stable, I think international is starting to look pretty good. You've seen a lot of people talk about the international markets, emerging markets, having trouble, not being a great place to invest. I mean, this, okay, it's some noise, but I think overall there's some good value there. And so you may want to take a look at some international. I also like value investing right now. Value investing typically outperforms growth. It's been many, many years of growth outperforming value. So when does that flip? No one knows that, but it's never a bad idea to hold value in your portfolio. And right now might be a good time to switch some of your growth ideas to value. And what are some of the things I'm talking about? Well, Oracle. I think Oracle is a local company. Has some tremendous value. They've been a little bit slow to move to the cloud, but they got a huge group of customers out there, and you bet they're going to start looking at a Microsoft sort of conversion of clients to the cloud. That could be very good for business, and I understand they're doing a lot of cutting in terms of expensive type benefits and so forth. So bottom line, that company should start to do pretty well. Also like ExxonMobil. They're paying you a 4.5% dividend right now, and that stock's been pretty reasonably priced for quite some time. So these are value type plays, and the way I explain value as opposed to growth is something that people keep buying regardless of the value of the stock, meaning the price to earnings. A value stock has good earnings. It would be equivalent to you walking into, say, your favorite store and seeing your favorite clothes item on sale, and you know it's a great piece of clothes. And you know it's worth a lot more than what they're trying to sell it for, but maybe they're going out of business, so they're selling it right now at a very good value. That's what a value investor does. They kind of kick the tires. They know the companies are buying, why they buy them, and they buy them at a discount. That's what value is. So I think value is a good place to be looking at right now, particularly if you can pick up a nice, healthy dividend. All right, so those are the areas I want you to take a look at. Now, next week, what do you want to be paying attention to? Next week, Monday, it's President's Day. So the market will be closed. It's a national holiday. Tuesday, we'll be back at work, and we've got the earnings winding down. So you'll see Walmart on Tuesday. Wednesday, we'll see CVS, and they're going to start to taper off in terms of earnings. Wednesday, also, we're going to see the Fed minutes. Now, we always read those because it tells you what the Fed's going to do. In my opinion, I don't think they're going to do anything, so that shouldn't be a big day. Thursday, a lot of information coming out. Thursday, we have the jobless claims coming. We have the PMI index, which again is another inflationary index. And then we've got home sales. And I'm interested to see what's going to happen with overall home sales and where that's going to go. Because as we know, the real estate market always tends to have some impact on the market. When we come back, I've heard them say, as long as you stay invested in the market, you should be making 10% per year. Is it possible to run out of money in retirement? You're going to be surprised at the answer. It's all coming up next on Protect Your Assets. So stay with me. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets with David Hollander. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. We'll be right back.
You've worked hard to get to where you are today, but are you protected from the next market corrections? Your peace of mind is too important to be sitting there wondering if your current plan is on the right track, wondering if you've had enough income for the rest of your life. You owe this to yourself. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.
Oh, I know I'll never lose affection for people and things that went before. I know I'll often stop and think about them. In my life, I love you more.
There is a whole new kind of life ahead, full of experiences just waiting to happen. Some call it retirement. We call it bliss. Welcome back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Oh, I know I'll never lose affection.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. The financial and investing world can be so complex, so confusing, so much so that people just become paralyzed and do nothing. It's not that you want to make bad decisions with your money or your retirement. It's just that you don't know what to do or if you can trust the advice that you're getting. So that's why on today's show, we're trying to help you answer the question, am I going to be okay? So I hear this one all the time, and this is incredible. People say, I've heard this, you know, I'm going to take the long-term approach, and I've heard that the market, particularly the S&P 500, if I just leave it in there and don't touch it, I'm going to make about 10% per year. So if I take out, say, 5% per year, how could I run out of money? Because simple math, 10 minus 5 is 5, right? So I should be banking about 5% per year. But it just doesn't work that way. And as you know, we have now $22 trillion in debt. And if interest rates rise, that's going to become a problem. And the financial markets are so challenging at times to figure out. We all remember back to 2008. We all just saw what happened on December 24th in December. I mean, think about that. A lot of people ignore that and wonder, what does this mean? So I want to ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself trying to do something in the mirror? Surgery, for example. You've probably discovered that it's very difficult to do it. So maybe you had that tweezer, you're going for that brow, but instead, ow, you poke yourself in the eye, right? Investing for retirement often turns many of the investment lessons you've learned all these years upside down. So I'm going to share with you a little story. This is a story of a gentleman named Ralph. Won't say where he's from or his last name, but it's a common story that we hear pretty regularly from people who try to do it themselves. And Ralph was 65 and he was married and he managed to scrimp together a little over $1 million in his retirement 401k kitty. And Ralph read a great deal about retirement. He listened to all the shows every Saturday morning and used these retirement calculators online to help him decide if this was a good time for him to retire. And you know what? The advice that he received online was, sure, Ralph, you can go ahead and do this. So using that advice, Ralph decided he could start retirement with a 5% annual withdrawal out of his 401k, now a rollover IRA balance. So he put his $1 million into, say, an S&P 500 stock index type fund. Yeah, that's right, 100%. And he left it there and decided that he would pull that money out. So Ralph left his job, and this was at the end of March 2000, and he withdrew $4,167 for his living expenses. Now, he also turned on his Social Security at that point in time. So 5% of $1 million is, you got it, 50,000. If you divide that by 12, that's where I came up with the $4,167 a month. And diligently, he took that out every month on the first or second of the month. It would hit his bank account automatically right from his brokerage account. And this is what was surprising. By the end of March 2014, the S&P 500 had gained 63%. You heard me right. From 2000 to March 2014, S&P 500 gained 63%. Now, this included the reinvestment of dividends paid by that index. But Ralph's account stood at $336,708. Repeat, $336,708. Huh? That's a 66% decline. But you just heard that the S&P was up 63% from when he started. So what happened? This doesn't make any sense. Well, first is that Ralph withdrew about $700,000 all those years. Nevertheless, large company stocks, such as those in the S&P 500, have historically gained about 10% a year since 1925. However, according to Ibbotson and Associates, this didn't work because Ralph was withdrawing 5% during some bad times. What do I mean by this? Well, there were two problems that Ralph encountered by using this strategy, and this is what I want to encourage you to think about as you start to invest your money. And I talked about this in the first segment about being diversified and thinking about other areas to invest in, particularly right now, because we've seen a pretty good run-up, haven't we? We're getting close again to all-time highs on the market once again, because don't forget, this past week, the Dow Jones was up over 3%. NASDAQ was up 2.3%. S&P was up over 2.5%. And we've seen the best rally in the Dow over the last 8 weeks since 2009. Doesn't it feel like it's kind of getting a little long in the tooth? So let's study some of the problems that Ralph experienced when he was doing this sort of a strategy. First was that the long term can be very long indeed, and that the long term can be punctuated by periods like 2000 to 2009, which were equivalent to massive gallstones. In fact, the S&P 500 has gained an average of 3.56 a year since March 2000, but that was well below the 10% a year number that he was looking at from 1925. And in fact, Ralph had enjoyed steady 3.56% gains every year. He'd be in better shape. He'd be sitting on more like $743,000, which brings us to the second problem. The world turns upside down when you start to take withdrawals out of your retirement account for your living expenses. It is just that simple. Most people are used to putting money into the stock market at regular intervals through their 401k savings plan. This is called dollar cost averaging, and most people at each paycheck take a little bit out and buy stocks over the long run, which lets you buy shares at cheaper cost. But when you flip it and you start to take income out of it or money out of your retirement account, you're doing surgery on yourself. And maybe you're listening to me right now and you feel pretty good about your current investment plan. Maybe your advisor has told you you can leave everything the way it is and don't worry, you can take these big withdrawals out of your account. Let's face it, nothing bad, really bad, has happened yet. But remember what Jack Welch said? Jack was the guy that saved GE. And when he left, we all know what happened. But this is what Jack said, and I listen to this all the time. I put it in front of my computer, and I look at it every day. Change before you have to. Think about that. Change before you have to. Why are you waiting until something bad happens to make a smart move? Think about that. Your peace of mind is too important to be sitting there wondering if your current plan is going to actually work. This is your retirement we're talking about. This is the rest of your life. We can help you. We can help you get in front of this and get the answers that you're looking for. If you've saved at least $250,000 in a 401k, IRA, brokerage, or other type of savings account, then for the first 10 callers right now, absolutely free, we will show you how to do this for yourself. 866-PROTECT. Again, the number is 866-PROTECT. We help you protect your retirement. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Coming up next, we're going to share with you how to fend off the tax man instead of letting your money fall through the cracks, and ways to make sure you're not a burden to your family later in life if a long-term care stay occurs to you. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. I'm David Hollander, the Sandman. We'll be right back. Mr. Sandman.
The Protect Your Assets team is standing by. If you're one of the first 10 callers right now, you will receive your very own complimentary analysis. The number to call is 1-866-PROTECT. We are live and we are local. 866-PROTECT, because that's what we do. Protect your assets. 866-PROTECT. Seen our new website? With a brand new podcast page, you can go hear up-to-date podcasts of our show. Go to LibertyGroupLLC.com and click on the radio tab. That's LibertyGroupLLC.com. Or just sit back and enjoy more of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
I like this rip, so let's just hear it. Here we go. Aren't you getting stronger? We're getting stronger every day together. I'm David Hollander, also known as Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. You've tuned to today likely the most important financial show when it comes to your retirement and financial planning. Other shows, well, they talk about the annuity of the week or an expensive collection of mutual funds and maybe tell you to just grin and bear it. Keep pulling that 5% out every year because the market should give you 10% on average every year, right? Just let it run. But we just looked at Ralph in the last segment, and Ralph's portfolio went from $1 million down to mid-300s, and he was very likely going to run out of money during his lifetime. So if you missed our segment, last segment, and why it's important to think about a retirement plan and how you take money out of your account in retirement, go listen to our podcast. You can do that anytime. Go to LibertyGroupLLC.com. Again, LibertyGroupLLC.com. You can listen to all of our podcasts right there. And this one will be up probably Monday morning, so you can go back and listen to that one. And we were talking about Ralph and how Ralph got himself into some trouble by trying to do it himself, or maybe he listened to an advisor who told him not to do anything really except the traditional, just leave it in there and not think about it. Not a good idea. Now, another thing I see all the time is about your taxes. Now, one thing that becomes way more confusing as you start to take money out of your account to live on, and as you grow your money in retirement to live on, is your tax situation. So I want you to think about this. I gave the analogy last segment about doing surgery on yourself with a mirror. And if you've ever tried that, which I know we all have, it doesn't feel right, right? Something just feels a little weird. Like, you know, you stick yourself in places that you don't think you're sticking yourself, but then when you feel it, it's like, ow, that wasn't really, didn't seem right. And that's how you should think about retirement. Retirement is exactly the opposite of what you've done all these years. You've been saving money in your 401k plan. Every month you take a little bit out, you stick it away, every month a little away. And you do that over time. Why? Because you have a paycheck. And you don't really worry about your savings because you don't need to live on it. But once you stop working, once that paycheck stops coming into your bank account, you no longer have income. and you have to create your own income. And that is exactly like doing surgery on yourself. Your world turns upside down. And one of the things that we all take for granted is paying our taxes. We have to pay taxes. It's part of this country. So it makes this country great. Our tax dollars, you know, we can argue about that, mainly are used for good things like our roads. We have some of the best roads in the world. I've been all over the world. I've driven roads everywhere. And I'll tell you, the best roads in the world are here. And you're going to argue, well, so Oakland city streets are terrible. I know. There's some pretty good roads, though, compared to a lot of other places in the world. And in Europe, where you have these toll roads, where you pay these massive tolls to go on nice freeways, costs a lot of money to do that. And that's where a lot of our tax dollars go. And that's a good use of money if you happen to drive somewhere. Now, where am I going with this? Well, your tax money comes out of your investments. And wherever you start to turn on income or you make money, you're going to pay taxes. And when you retire, it just becomes confusing. Now, I'm going to add to that on top of that, the new tax code. There's a new tax card that you're going to get very familiar with in about a month. And it looks like a little index card, like my kid used to use when she was in grammar school. She had these little 3x5 cards and she'd write little notes on them when she was in class. And she'd come home, Daddy, can we go over there? And we'd talk about it. And she'd make little outlines out of it. And that's how she'd study. I'm very proud of her now. She's at UC Berkeley about to graduate and she's done a great job. But can you imagine putting all your stuff on a little card like that? And when you look at it, there's no more area for your deductions or some of the, maybe you have real estate, some of the things you've come to, or you may have your own business. How does that work? So the tax code has become simpler, but harder as well. And you're going to have to start dealing with this, particularly if you're retired or you're thinking of retiring, because you're going to have income like Social Security income. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you don't turn it on yet. You're going to have to take your RMD or your required minimum distribution out of your IRA account or your 401k. If you stop working, it still has to come out once you reach 70 and a half. Maybe you should think about taking that earlier. Why would you do that? Why would you think about taking money out of your IRA before you have to? What about converting it to a Roth IRA and creating tax-free income? Think about this quote. It's not about how much you make or how much you have. It's about how much you keep after taxes that counts. Does that sound intelligent? Let me read that to you again. It's not about how much you make or how much you have. It's about how much you keep after taxes that really counts. Huh. So if you could use the power of the tax code in addition to making a reasonable return on your money with the markets the way they've been, which has been challenging, would that put you in a better position? It probably could. So one habit I've seen of highly successful retirees who are able to retire in stride and really enjoy their retirement is to have a plan that addresses taxes and keeps taxes under control in addition to their investments. Because when you think about it, there are only two taxes that really matter: current taxes and future taxes. And those who plan address both of those types of taxes, current and future. They have an investment plan in writing that is tax efficient. And they have the ability to look at it regularly. In fact, in our office, we give you something called e-money. And I'm going to say this again. I ask all of my clients to make sure they log on to e-money and look at it regularly. I periodically have people who don't do that. And you know what? That's on you, because I give you the passcode. I give you the ability to get in there. And you need to go look at the plan that we've created for you, because right then and there, there's a whole tax segment for you. It breaks down each year and shows the tax return that you could expect to have. It gives you a talking point to talk with yourself or with us or your advisor about taxes in the future and what sort of tax efficient investing should you be thinking about. Will tax-free help? What about tax sheltered or tax advantage strategies? All these things should be discussed in your meeting And if you have questions about these, just pick up the phone and ask your advisor. Now, we have found that the only way that you could have the best tax-efficient plan is if the person you work with is constantly reminding you about this and helping you monitor your tax situation and plan accordingly, and hopefully has a tax CPA in their office to help you prepare the plan when the time comes. So let me ask you a question. When was the last time your financial advisor asked to see a copy of your tax return and or worked with your CPA to do everything they could to pay less in taxes? If your answer is never, or it's been a while, you could be looking at a problem on your hands. And that's if you care about paying less taxes. If you want the best possible retirement, when you need to raise your standards by working with a team of advisors that monitors your tax situation every single year and then adjust your investment plan accordingly. Listen, maybe you're facing some tough questions right now about retirement. Our advice is this: don't go it alone. Don't do what Ralph did. Last segment, we were talking about Ralph, and Ralph was trying to do it himself with these online calculators. Don't do that. We just saw a massive tax code change, and I'm going to tell you right now, when you start to look at that tax card that you're about to be asked to fill out, if your financial advisor is not prepared to help you with that, or your team of people don't know what they're talking about and can't sync everything up together, you're going to be looking at a pretty big problem. And I can tell you, someone who's in the industry, I've looked at this tax card and I need help. So all I can say is this is complicated stuff and you should have a team of people working on your side who know what to do. Now, in our office, we do have a CPA. His name is the Tax Man. You may have heard him on the show several shows again. Mark Dinkle, they call him the Tax Man. Mark's a CPA, been doing this for over 20-something years. We have three estate planning attorneys who do your wills and your trusts. Make sure those are in order. We're going to talk about that next segment with your family, why it's so important when it comes to long-term care and costs of medical. And we have a team of financial advisors who look at your investments and help you build a plan that's not only tax efficient, but meets your goals and objectives. If you've saved at least $250,000 in a 401k, IRA, brokerage or other type of savings account, and here's what you can do right now. You can pick up the phone and you can have your very own tax investment strategy in writing prepared for you at no cost. That's right, no cost. I can do this for the first 10 callers right now, but you must call this number right now. Talk to a member of my team. 866-PROTECT. That's my number. It's 866-PROTECT. I want to help you protect more of your money. Keep more of it in your pocket instead of giving it to the government. Call this number, 866-PROTECT, to find out what you can do right now to pay less in taxes this year, because it's not too late. Again, the number to call to get your very own tax-efficient report is 866-PROTECT. It's time for a short water break, but when I come back, we're going to share what to do if you become a caregiver for a parent and how to get back on track if that happens to you. It always pays to keep it tuned right here to Protect Your Assets. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. We'll be right back. Mr. Sandman.
The Protect Your Assets team is standing by. If you're one of the first 10 callers right now, you will receive your very own complimentary analysis. The number to call is 1-866-PROTECT. We are live and we are local. 866-PROTECT, because that's what we do. Protect your assets. 866-PROTECT. Final chapter in the book of life, but rather the beginning, a second act. Join us at one of our workshops to see how we can help you with your retirement plan. Go to libertygroupllc.com and click on attend an event. That's libertygroupllc.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. On the Protect Your Assets Show, if you want to catch up on retirement, maybe you would like to figure out how you can do this. We do events all the time around the Bay Area. You can go to pyaevents.com. Again, that's Protect Your Assets, PYAEvents.com. And you'll see that we have a couple events coming up. We've got February 26th down in Santa Clara. We'll be at Piatti's at 6:30. You can register again right there at PYAEvents.com. It's a little register button. You can click on that. And then we'll be up in Mill Valley on March 7th. Again, 6:30 p.m. at Piatti's again. We like Piatti's. Anyway, you can join us there. Again, register at PYAEvents.com anytime you like. Again, PYAEvents.com. I want to wish a happy birthday to Lynn Solberg, Debbie Edmonds, and Tom Belagas. Happy birthday to all of you guys. I hope you have an incredible birthday. So we've been talking this morning about, will I be okay in retirement? And so long-term care is something that could affect any family. I mean, this has happened to my family now twice, and I've seen it happen to just about most families I work with. At some point in your life, you're going to deal with what's called a long-term care illness in your family, and it can financially devastate you, not only emotionally, but financially. And so long-term care basically refers to services that help you or your loved one deal with their daily living activities. And these could be things like eating, bathing, taking their medication, transferring, mobility, simple things that we take for granted every day. But when you can't do one of them or a couple of them, you need someone to help you. And so typically people rely on their spouses to help them with that, and that's not a good idea, because that can not only devastate your spouse psychologically, but also physically. It could tear them down physically if they can't lift you up or help you. So you're going to need help. And a lot of people look at long-term care insurance to do that. There's nothing wrong with long-term care insurance. There's positives and negatives, of course, to that. But I want to give you some alternatives to think about instead of long-term care insurance. And so the first would be saving money for long-term care. So if you have robust savings, you could plan to pay for long-term care out of your own pocket. The pro to that is you don't risk paying for insurance that you may never use. But the flip side of that is a few years of care could put a real big dent in your savings. Because right now I'm seeing anywhere from $6,500 to $12,000 a month. That's right, a month in care costs. And so if you've got that kind of money stuck away, great. But if you don't, then think about maybe applying for Medi-Cal. Medi-Cal could be a way to help you. And we are attorneys, as you know, and we do help people with not only veterans benefits, which can help with long-term care, but also Medi-Cal. Both of those programs can help people who need the help. Another type of benefit you might tap into is maybe you have a living benefit on your life insurance policy. Whole life insurance policies, not term, but whole life insurance policies can let you take a portion of that life insurance out and use that to pay for your care. Now, the good part about this is the cost. It's included in your rates on your life insurance policy, and you can add it for a small cost to others if you don't have it right now. The reverse of this is that it triggers you to lose some of your death benefit. And so this trigger could be a problem. And so you want to read the fine print in your policy, because if you bought it for one purpose and now it's being used for another, make sure that it's not frustrating some of the benefits that you originally paid for it. Another one is you could use an annuity. Annuities also have long-term care features in them. Many of them will allow you to take larger sums of cash out of the policy earlier if you satisfy certain benefits that are in there. The contrary of that is maybe it's not as much as you had hoped for. So you may want to think about maybe buying a combination of, say, a long-term care policy in addition to a life policy to accomplish some of the objectives you think about in the future. Another one could be looking at what's called an asset-based long-term care program. And this is where you either annually or on a lump sum basis put in a chunk of money and use that money ultimately to pay a certain type of benefit in the future. And this is a way where you could essentially insure yourself for the rest of your life to a particular amount of money. And that can really help you in terms of planning if you're looking at a certain type of, say, home care. Maybe you've thought about, well, if I get sick, I want to stay in my house. I don't want to necessarily go to a long-term care facility. And a lot of people feel that way. And I personally feel that way, and that's fine, but you're going to have to pay for that. And you're going to have to set up your house, and you're going to have the ability to have people come in and help your spouse or yourself, if your spouse is no longer with you, to deal with that. And so these types of policies can be very effective to make sure you have a certain amount of money every month for as long as you live. And that's a good thing to know, because you never know. You might develop an Alzheimer's or a dementia, and that can go on for a very, very long time. And the question is, how are you going to pay for that? Will you deplete all your assets? Will you run out of money? Remember, your ordinary living expenses don't just go away. So think about that for a minute. Have you ever thought about this subject? Have you thought about what you would do if this happened to you or one of your loved ones? Think about it for a minute. If you had to spend $120,000, $130,000, $140,000 a year on care, where would you get the money? And how long could you do that for? And would your approach be just to do that? And then if it went on for longer than you thought, then what would you do? Is that when you would ask for help? These are good questions. And one way to get answers to those questions is to ask for help, to pick up the phone and talk to someone who's done this. I've been doing this for over 25 years. I've seen just about every type of case you can imagine. I love learning. I love seeing what's out there, seeing new experiences, but you can learn from others. And this is how you do it. You pick up the phone right now. If you have a 401k, an IRA account, brokerage, just do this. Just pick up the phone. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Again, the number is 866-PROTECT. And find out how you can protect your assets from spending needlessly on long-term care. What other options are out there? I just gave you a few, but there are many, many more ways to do this. And we have the experience. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Again, it's all about protecting your assets. That number again, 866-PROTECT. Want to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together another great show today. My executive producer, Anthony Kojikari, network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all my fabulous producers back there in the studio, Dora, Nico, Jordan, Hayden, and Felicia. Thank you guys, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Have a great weekend. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Mr. Sandman.
The Protect Your Assets team is standing by. If you're one of the first 10 callers right now, you will receive your very own complimentary analysis. The number to call is 1-866-PROTECT. We are live and we are local. Call 866-PROTECT, because that's what we do. Protect your assets. 866-PROTECT.
Magic bean, Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
All calls have been screened, and callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. Legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyer to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on analysis of all the facts and circumstances, and information given on this program is general financial commentary and cannot be relied upon pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC, and the views and opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.